Well, if you needed a reason for GM's decision, there it is. It's the Wall Street Shuffle, man. It's the greed, and I like what Sherrod Brown said. You know, this decision is corporate greed at its worst. And if you wonder why Sherrod Brown won in Ohio, which is now unfortunately a red state, it's because of that. It's because the working people in that state see him as somebody who's going to stand up and fight for them. And that's what I've been saying for years. Look, Democrats need to get that fight back. They need to be the ones who are going to stand up and fight for working people. That simple. On my next guest, somebody who I believe is one of those folks, actually has now thrown his name in as a presidential candidate for 2020. West Virginia State Senator Richard O. Jetta. Richard, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
So, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, greed, this is it. I mean, and we're funding it through horrible tax cuts.
Absolutely. You know, let me tell you something. You know, there is an attack on the working class citizens in this country. It's blatantly obvious. I tell you, you know, we've got to start treating our working class better than this. They deserve so much better.
No, there's no question about that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've been sold this idea that, you know, we've got to be business friendly. We've got to give them tax cuts. We've got to deregulate. We've got to break unions. We've got to do all of these things to, to pay homage to the chair. And yet they're still not taking care of us like they claim they're going to. This is another one of these moments where you go, all of the policies of the last 40 years, we should learn we're all a ripoff, all a scam, and we should be repelling all of them.
Well, I will tell you that, you know, miners fought on a place called Blair Mountain down in Logan County, West Virginia, to be able to unionize many, many years ago.
Yep.
And, you know, they have attacked our unions, and they're doing everything in their power. They're chipping away at our unions. And the working class citizens out there that don't realize, especially these people that are non-union, they don't realize that when the unions are gone, and there's no longer a voice to fight for job safety, to fight for an honest day's pay, for an honest day's work, make no mistake about it, the salaries that they're enjoying right now will drop. I tell people, I said them coal jobs that are $90,000 will go to $30,000, and there's not one thing you can do about it because you won't have a voice anymore.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's important for people to realize this stuff, and they better realize it soon because the unions have been under attack, and I'm telling you, when the unions are gone, the only way for us to get that voice back is to go back to Blair Mountain and shed blood again.
Unfortunately, you're right. But here's the thing, and you brought up Blair Mountain back a couple of years back. We did a labor history tour, and we went through Blair Mountain. We went to Blair, West Virginia, where we were met by about 30 individuals who were, quote-unquote, friends of coal, and I'm sure you've heard of them, who showed up with their sidearms and to find out why a couple of people from Pennsylvania were just wandering through. And here were these people who were at the time getting screwed over by Patriot and Peabody Coal, threatening us for talking about the Battle of Bear Mountain because, you know, they thought we were coming to take their jobs away. And it was insane to me at the time, but highly it's where we live right now.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a little something about Friends of Coal and the Coal Association in West Virginia. They're not friends of coal miners. They're friends of coal operators. You know, I will tell you, I've watched them dangle coal. See, a lot of coal miners around here have got those, they put them signs on their car that say friends of coal. They don't realize. In the Capitol, they dangle coal mining jobs in front of the faces of delegates and senators. And they say, if you do this, then I'll lay off this many people in your area. And you know what? They're just a bunch of tyrant thugs as far as I'm concerned.
You know, but here's the thing, you know, Richard, and this is, you know, where I come back to, when do we in the working class wake up to the reality that we're just pawns in this game and the only power that we really will ever have is collectively, you know, going back to the idea of, you know, the Knights of Labor, an injury to one being an injury to all. And this right now, I take no joy in the fact that 14,700 UAW members are going to lose their job. I take no joy in this. And I ask my friends on the left to take no joy and not to rub this in as an I told you so moment either.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, I would tell you that, remember the teacher strike that happened in West Virginia that spread to Kentucky, to Oklahoma, you know, Arizona, places like that. You know, I'm going to tell you, a lot of people, what actually won that strike or that work stoppage? What won that? It wasn't the AFP and the WBEA and the WVSSPA working together, and that was a beautiful thing to see. But what won it was when all of the unions come together. When you walked out of our Capitol on day four, day five, and you saw United Mine Workers of America tents, you saw Teamsters, you saw International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, carpenters, painters, boilermakers, pipe fitters, you saw all the unions out there, Communication Workers of America, standing in solidarity, shoulder to shoulder, refusing to take a step back. And, you know, people started realizing, you know, that's a lot of numbers. If them and their families go to the polls, they can put anyone out of office. And that's what needs to happen. People need to realize the working class citizens, if they stand together, they will win every time. But they've got to realize that they have to stand together.
No, I mean, I say this all the time. Every generation has to rediscover the meaning of solidarity. And we saw that in West Virginia. And I'm hoping we see this now, because I've said that I think something radical now has to happen. As you pointed out, in West Virginia, all of the people took to the streets. And, you know, I even talked to people who were non-union members who were saying, look, I see the value in strong, you know, education, and for teachers to be paid reasonably, and for workers to have rights and all of that. I think this is one of these moments where, as a country, we've got to come around to the idea that we've got to hold these companies accountable. And I've been saying unions better figure out how to maybe take to the streets in a day general strike, occupy GM, something. But there's got to be something now. It's got to happen now.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. And, you know, you think about it, it wasn't very long ago the taxpayers bailed out, you know, General Motors. The taxpayers aren't a bank, but we bailed out General Motors. You know, just recently they got this big tax break to the tune of $150 million. You know, hey, they need to start focusing on, you know, doing right by their workers. This is unacceptable. To ship jobs overseas and take them out of the hands of our working class citizens, that's got to stop. You know, and we should be doing everything in our power to keep that from ever happening.
Now, I'm with you. Now, I understand you're in Detroit. You went to the GM headquarters. What happened?
Well, we got to the GM headquarters, and what I did was I went and I started talking to people. And it was kind of sad because, of course, I talked to some folks. I talked to one guy that has been trying to get a job in General Motors, and I explained to him what's going on, and he really wasn't aware. So he pretty much came to the realization that they're not going to be hiring him if they're getting rid of all these workers. We talked to a few people that were the suits, and basically they said that everybody in this building is walking on eggshells. You know, they're not willing to walk around and say a lot of things, but everybody's worried. They're worried about their jobs. And then the security come and basically told us that, we were basically waiting to be thrown out. We're actually staying in the hotel that's inside the building with the headquarters, but we were expecting to be thrown out. And then one security guard come up to us, and he recognized me, and he told me that he supports me wholeheartedly and loves everything that I do. So today's been a good day.
No, and look, you know, this is one of those moments where, you know, you don't want to demonize working people. They're doing their job. But at the end of the day, it's going to take, in my view, something radical. And it just needs to be more than just Richard Ojeda who's showing up at GM. There should be thousands of people there today on those steps.
Well, let me tell you, you know, I have no problems traveling anywhere, going anywhere and standing on a picket line. I despise a scab. You know, I don't think anybody should be willing to go take somebody else's job. Because that person is fighting to have better, you know, safety on the job and a better wages and benefits for their family. But I have no problems. I've been on picket lines with Communication Workers of America. I don't have a problem with those things. But I'm going to tell you, you're right. You know, something has to. I say shut it down. I believe that if unions stand together, they can shut things down. When you tell me that it's illegal for certain people to strike, I tell you that's BS. It was illegal for teachers to strike in West Virginia, but they did, and in the end, they won. They say it's illegal for air traffic controllers to strike. You make a daggone senator or a congressman have to ride a bus all the way to California and back, I bet you then he'll be willing to sit down and talk to these workers and try to come up with a solution to fix the situation. You know, you want to talk about correctional officers not being able to strike. I guarantee you these people that sit, you know, in their high chairs aren't going to go watch these prisoners out there. We got to start treating our people, the working class citizens, with respect, because they're the most important people in the United States of America. They're the ones that get up every day, put on their work clothes, and go and pay their bills and feed their families. And when that comes to a stop, it all comes to a screeching halt.
See, I don't even know where to go with that. You're the kind of Democrat that I've been dreaming for years. Someone who's going to stand up and fight for working people. And in fact, you know, I was looking at your Twitter feed where in the description it said you spent 24 years fighting for our country and thank you for your service, only to come home and find out that nobody's been fighting for working class families. And there's nothing, there is not a statement more true than that I've read.
Oh, it's absolutely, it's a fact. You know, I mean, you go home, you come home and you see that nobody cares about the citizens of our country. It's unacceptable. Our working class citizens are absolutely just, they're treated like garbage. You know, I recently, in the last legislative session, it passed in the Senate to remove the countermeasures on cranes that keep them from falling over. And the reason for that is because it's a lot less expensive to just have to give somebody a check and say sorry for the loss of your loved one than it is to making sure that no cranes fall over. That's the kind of mentality that we have today. And these aren't the working class people. That's not their mentality. It's the people that run the show's mentality. No. And all they think about is dollar signs. And you know what? I'm telling you right now, I tell people all the time, the filthy rich in this country, it would behoove them to make sure that we continue to strengthen and rebuild our middle class and take care of our working class citizens. Because when we get to the point where all we have is the filthy rich and the dirt poor, the dirt poor will eat the filthy rich.
There's a quote right there. Because I've been saying the only time things are going to change is when the wealthy fear their heads on platters. So we just have a different way of saying the exact same thing. And I think we're getting there. I mean, you go back to John Edwards in 2004 talking about two Americas. And we are devolving into that as the middle class is being, you know, just eviscerated. And these loss of these, you know, some 15,000 potentially 35,000 jobs. These are solid middle-class wage jobs with excellent health care benefits and some bit of retirement. These jobs just aren't everywhere. And these are the ones right. We need to be fighting, not just to hold on to, but also to be expanding so more people have access to this kind of, you know, family-sustaining wage and benefit package.
Absolutely. You know, and when people have good jobs, it benefits everybody. You know, I'll tell you, right, you know, I was talking to some folks today, and I was like, you know, 2,000 jobs in this area, you know, shut down. They close a factory that loses 2,000 jobs. I said, that's 2,000 people that are on the unemployment line, 2,000 families that are going without. But that's also 2,000 people that are now trying to take what little jobs are left. So it makes everything even harder to compete for. But, you know, you're talking about people not being able to buy, you know, in mom-and-pop stores. Things like that. I mean, that's what closes down a lot of these mom-and-pop shops. You know, I speak also about Walmart. You know, Walmart's an organization that needs to unionize more than anything. You know, they work their people. They're the richest family and probably in the world. But they do nothing for the people that work for them. I mean, the majority of people that work in Walmart qualify for food stamps.
Yeah. No, and that's a shame. And, you know, I go back to, and I talk about this all the time, my grandmother was a UFCW member. She worked at a small department store in Cleveland, spent, you know, 20 plus years there, you know, and made a good wage, had good health care benefits, good pension, retired with that pension until the day she died. And, you know, when she retired in 1985, was making $8 an hour with 6 weeks vacation, full paid medical, dental, you know, all this stuff that, you know, today, you know, Walmart workers don't get even close to any of that. And no. You wonder where that money went? It went to creating one of the wealthiest families in the history of civilization.
And that family right there has no issues at all with our tax dollars basically helping them to be able to make the money that they make. You know, our tax dollars is what pay for the medical for the Walmart employees, not them.
Yeah. So let me ask you last line of questioning, because you've thrown your hat in to run for president. It's a little ways off. 2020 is down the road. But, you know, I think it's important to start talking about these issues and the fact that there's somebody who is willing to say the U word without choking on it. And hopefully, and as you've proven, willing to get out on the picket line, put on those comfortable shoes that Obama talked about, but he never broke out. I think it's important to talk about these issues. So what made you jump into this? Why president? I mean, some would say you're a state senator from West Virginia. How are you going to make that giant leap?
Well, you know, when I was running for Congress, First off, I turned more people that voted for Trump back to the Democratic Party than any race in the United States of America. Okay, so I can turn Trump voters back to the Democratic Party. Okay, and I can do that, and I've proven that. I can relate to the working class citizen. A cookie cutter politician is not going to beat Donald Trump. But a person like myself that can relate to the working class citizens in middle America, then I can. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. But the thing is I received all kinds of phone calls, letters throughout the 19 months I was running for Congress from all over the United States of America. And the truth is that the problems that we have in southern West Virginia are the same problems that we have in Michigan, the same problems we have in the Rio Grande Valley, the same problems we have in the Bronx, New York. They're all over the United States of America. And you know what? Once again, we're not going to beat Donald Trump by sending another cookie-cutter established politician at them. I'm the guy that is going to get in there, and I'm going to fight. And I'm going to fight him the way he fights. And he don't want to fight me. I can assure you that, because I'll have no problems calling him out for his lack of courage that he has, for his lack of morals that he has. And I'm sure nobody else is willing to say those things. And there's nobody else willing to say the things that I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to sacrifice. You know, I'm saying that if you're going to be in office, you should have the same health care as every other citizen out there. Your kids should go to public school. And if you're going to beat the drums of war to send our sons and daughters to combat, then you need to be willing to ante up your fighting age children and your families so they can go too. Because if that was the case, then diplomacy would always win over sending our people to war.
I can tell you, I love this guy. You know, I often joke that, in a street fight, Democrats would be the one to hold your coat. I think I'd be the one offering to hold your coat.
Well, brother, let me tell you something. I'd rather fight than eat than when it comes to things that need to be fought for. And there's a lot that needs to be fought for.
Good for you, Richard. I appreciate the time. I hope you'll come back and talk to us again. I love the passion. I love the fight. Best of luck.
Airborne, thank you.
Good stuff, Richard Ojeda. Make sure you check out their website, voteojeda.com. We'll get links out so folks can take a look at that. Again, if we could clone this guy, the Democrats might have a chance at 2020. Just my thought. I'd love to hear yours. You can email me, Rick@therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back.